Mitch, what a great bloke he is. Hi, Fi Sean. And welcome to the show, somebody I haven't seen for absolutely ages, but I know I played this song to death when I was on Radio 1 in 1987, and subsequently I've played it many, many times. Will you please welcome Maggie DeMond? How are you, Scarlet Fantastic? Are you all right?
Hey, Janice. Yeah, I'm great. I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. I'm
good,
fine.
Good.
So you moved to Eastbourne?
I have, yeah. I love it. I'm so glad I live by the sea. Actually, during these times as well, we moved down from London quite a few years ago when our little boy was 2.
Yeah.
He's now nearly 21, and he's a cracking drummer as well. That actually, you know, it's really great here. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful town with lovely, you know, the countryside's only like about 10 minutes away, and you've got Hastings one side and you've got Brighton the other side. So it's really good.
Yeah.
London's not so far away. And, I love it. Just great being by the sea.
Cool. So your son's got music in his blood.
He has. Yeah. He's a bit of a world rock and roller.
Let me take you back to those days in Birmingham, because that was quite a scene, wasn't it?
It really was. There was so much going on. It was just fantastic when I grew up in Brum.
Who were you into?
Gosh, really a wide range of people. I mean, I used to love the Au Pairs. I don't know if you remember the Au Pairs.
Of course I do.
Yeah, they were on John Peel quite a bit. I'm actually still friends with Leslie. She's a barrister now, believe it or not. Used to love the Au Pairs. My first band, that was even before Swan's Way, we toured with Duran Duran on their first tour. I used to love all the reggae bands as well. You know, we had Steel Pulse and, God, there were loads of others as well. And I loved all the ska bands as well. I mean, there was just so much going on. I mean, my band before Scarlet Fantastic was Swan's Way.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just a lot going on. And we all used to hang out, even though everybody was doing something different. It didn't really matter. We all kind of just got on. And there was sort of great nightlife going on at the time. There was a club called the Rum Runner. There was the Cedar Club, and before that there's Barbarella's. They're all live music venues. I mean, I saw so many great bands play in Birmingham, you know, international bands. Gosh, I remember seeing Blondie, Elvis Costello. I mean, just I think I saw just about everybody.
Birmingham, because we lived there for almost 20 years, lived in Moseley. I adore it. I absolutely love that city. But what I noticed is they don't boast about their talent. They just get on with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what I really like about it. Everyone's like really down to earth. I mean, I love Liverpool as well. And I think probably the reason I love Liverpool is because there's a certain element of Liverpool people that, you know, it reminds me of Birmingham people, just really down to earth, sort of salt of the earth. And I really like that. And you're absolutely right. There's no pretentiousness. And people sort of mix and match as well, you know, as I say, whatever your kind of particular style is, you know, whatever your genre is, everyone just kind of gets on with it. And it was a really creative scene. I love it. I don't know if it's the same today. I've still got lots of friends in Moseley, and I'm going to be going back there actually in a few weeks. And in fact, I'm doing a collaboration. I can't say too much, but it's with a fellow female artist, and she also had quite a well-known band in the 80s, and she's asked me to do a little collaboration with her on this new musical, but I can't say any more than that. But that's something I'm looking forward to doing, that I'm working on currently.
Well, I might bump into you, because what I can't wait to do when this is all over is get on that little train and get to Birmingham, get off at Grand Central, as it's now called, and head off to Moseley and hang out with all of my mates and, you know, go to the pub and go back to houses. And I love it. And the thing is, you were saying about Birmingham and Liverpool, they have a similar sense of humour.
Yeah, oh my goodness, absolutely. And I love that. It's just it's a bit mad sometimes, but that's absolutely fine as far as I'm concerned. That's absolutely brilliant. So you were in Moseley for like 20 years. Whereabouts in Moseley were you?
Swanshurst Lane by the park.
Oh, yeah, God, I know, yeah. I mean, yeah. Wasn't it fantastic as well with all, you know, like Ladypool Road and Stony Lane? You just can't beat those curry houses, can you? And I remember after clubbing, I mean, I was really young, I was probably still in my teens, probably shouldn't have been clubbing and stuff, but we used to go up to those curry houses after, you know, night at a club and we'd go and buy like a Balti for a pound. And a lot of them stayed up really late, you know, we'd be there listening to music till about 4 or 5 or something. It's great.
You can't beat those roads. I mean, particularly Ladypool, where you've got that mix. Because they were the original Balti, you know, proper
they
little
were.
Houses, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now that, you know, they have got sort of frontage and their restaurants. But all the material shops.
Oh,
I know. All that fabulous fabric.
And, I know. Well, that's also what Brick Lane used to be like back in the 80s. Because I remember recording in Psalm East, and I think we'd just moved to London, and I remember being on Brick Lane, and I really loved it because it actually reminded me of Birmingham. And actually, I thought, God, you know, try and buy a flat there. I wish I had, because it'd be worth a fortune now, wouldn't it, on Brick Lane?
You'd be minted.
No, you just don't think like that when you're sort of in your 20s, do you? I didn't think about that.
No, not at all.
But anyway, no, you're absolutely right. The material shops and all of my clothes, because I had some fantastic, you know, friends who are fashion designers like Patty and Jane, you know, Kahn and Bell. And then there was Martin Degville from Zig.
Yes,
and he used to make my clothes as well. He lives just up the coast from me, actually. He lives in St. Leonard's Hastings. We're still really good mates.
Wow.
Yeah, so he used to make all my clothes. Him and Boy George used to have a little stall in the market, Oasis
That's
Market.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's great, the old rag market and everything, you know.
Yeah,
Just unbelievable.
I know. I actually, one time I had a stall there. It was fantastic. I mean, that's used to get up early and take a few black bin bags down of stuff and make a few quid. That's one of the ways we managed to survive as musicians in Birmingham.
But that was the great thing, you see. There was such individuality. You know, people would make their own things or, you know, adapt clothes. Yeah. And I remember Duran Duran. I mean, I wasn't there when they were there. But they tell the story about going into Rackham's and trying all the makeup on. Actually, they were doing their eyes up.
How absolutely brilliant. Oh, they were great. And, I mean, you know, Jane and Patty, that's Kahn and Bell. They used to have a shop on Hurst Street. They used to make all of Duran Duran's clothes as well. I mean, we all used to shop in, the same shops and everything. It was just a really great scene, and no one was too snobby about anything. I mean, there were a few bands that had a few. I think UB40 and Dexys might have had a bit of an issue with each other at one point, but apart from that, everyone was really friendly.
Maybe it was the fashion thing, because Brian from UB40, very Peaky Blinders in his look. Always dapper in that big cap, you know.
Oh, he's lovely as Brian, actually.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, he's a lovely man. And I was actually in a little film that he made. It was called Dance with the Devil. And it had Keith Allen in it and Chrissy Hind and Robert Palmer. And it was set in Birmingham. And I think you can catch it in bits on YouTube. So if you were to go on YouTube...
I think I've seen it. They showed it at the Mac Centre.
Pardon?
I think they showed it at the Mac Centre years ago. I went to see it.
Oh, did they? All right, yeah, because I sang a song in that and I had a few lines in that. So that was filmed at the Elbow Room in Birmingham.
Wow. Yeah, well, we'll talk more about your acting.
We're going back a long way here, aren't we, Jenny?
I love this. We'll talk some more in a moment. But let's get some of the music that you've done in this wonderful lockdown session. And this is Scarlet Fantastic. No Memory.
Thank you.
We get so fed up, with the whole town. We dream of deserts and fast motorbikes just call me shiny as I disappear into the sun.
Scala, fantastic. No memory. And I'm talking to Maggie Dumont. The range of your voice.
Oh, I know. I can go up and down, can't I? It is actually amazingly kind of still all intact.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I can really go high. I do enjoy doing that bit of falsetto now and again. I tell you what, I did absolutely love what you played, Party Fears 2 by The Associates.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is absolutely one of my favourite records ever. Love it. And Billy McKenzie was amazing as well.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
What an angel. He came to a Swan's Way gig in Dundee, and then I met him later in the 90s. It was actually at a Top of the Pops party, and we both had having quite a lot of fun, and we'd had a few drinks and we were dancing on a table together. But what a lovely guy. And I actually played in Paris with him as well one time way back. I'm a huge fan of Billy McKenzie, and he had quite a vocal range as well, didn't he?
Magnificent vocal range. And he had two whippets, and whenever he used to come to see me at Radio 1, he used to have to tie them to the lamppost outside.
How fantastic. Yeah, they're in the videos, aren't they? I've seen them in quite a few of the videos. Yeah. Oh, how brilliant.
Wonderful. But you've worked with so many people, and you've done so many different things.
Oh, I've done a few bits and bobs, that's for sure. Yeah, I have.
How do you split it? How do you, just go with the flow?
Do you know what, Janice? I do go with the flow. I always have done, and that's kind of the way that I work, and I have to be kind of, I'd use my initiative and, you know, try and stay as inventive as possible and just kind of see what comes up next and see what life has to offer, you know, rather than trying to sort of pre-plan everything and control everything, which I realise you can't, especially in these times. I mean, I kind of have always realised this. You just have to be open to kind of what might happen. I'm a real people person. I don't mean that in a kind of naff way, but I just really like people. I like all kinds of people. And it's interesting sort of, you know, you meet different people and then you just find out that, you know, through meeting all kinds of people, it's amazing what kind of opportunities and, you know, things that can just kind of emerge without you having even thought about it, you know, just things can. So, yeah, randomly, I've done quite a few things and still continue to do so. And I love people, and I love hearing about people's life experiences and, you know, what they get up to. And sometimes I end up getting involved with people and, you know, their life experiences and end up doing creative projects with them. And, so that's kind of how I operate.
And when it comes to acting, do you have to audition, or do they automatically go, we'd like you to do this bit in extras, or, you know, about a boy or whatever?
No. Do you know, I mean, Yeah, I mean, I've done quite a few things over the years. I mean, music has always been my main thing. That's always been my priority. But, I mean, for example, there's a new film coming out by some friends of mine, and they're amazing fashion designers. They're called Vin and Omi, but they're eco-fashion designers, and everything they've ever done is, you know, using sustainable materials and creating fabrics from things like nettles. They've even been in Prince Charles's Highgrove Gardens and picked nettles and turned them into fabrics. And they're actually making this new movie. It's called Kepler-62f, and it's a sort of sci-fi eco film with a fashion as well, but I mean, it's a planet saving message, and I mean, we kind of need films like this at the moment. And yeah, I mean, they're friends of mine, and I've ended up with some other friends doing a scene in that, and it's actually quite an intense movie, and I've ended up sort of being in the comedy scene. So we had quite a lot of fun filming that, and that just kind of came through friendships, really. And I believe in what they're doing, so that's how that came around.
Well, it sounds great what they're doing, and we need more people like that, don't we? But although I think it's going that way, isn't it?
Yeah, thankfully, because it has to, really, doesn't it? I mean, you know, the planet can't sustain with the way that it's been going on, you know, with climate change and everything, so things have to change. And, you know, even on a personal level, if we can just do all our bit, even just with recycling and stuff, I mean, we have to do it, really, and cut down on stuff that we buy, which is half the stuff we don't even need.
Well, do you know what? I was only talking to a friend of mine today, Nigel, and I said, you know, I, you know, happily go online and go, oh, I'll get that. That looks quite nice. I'm not buying a thing because I'm going, I don't need it.
No.
I don't need anything. I don't need a thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, you're so right. Yeah. And also, what happened, you know, we're not going to stay on the planet forever. And then it's just a big clearing up job for someone to do, isn't it, to get rid of all of our stuff. So, I mean, really, the sort of over-accumulation, it doesn't help. I mean, you know, and you look at dumped washing machines and fridges and cookers and stuff, and it's just completely unnecessary. I've always kind of tried to make everything last as long as it can, and I have very old things quite often. But you're absolutely right, I mean, about over consuming and buying stuff that we don't need. There's just absolutely no point.
No. And I keep saying to people, I don't need any more trainers, I'm fine. I don't need that, I'm fine.
No, I was actually a bit naughty today. I did actually buy a new pair of trainers.
Oh, did you?
I did actually need a new pair, because I did have a really old pair that were my brother's. I mean, how good is that? And I wore his trainers for about 6 years, and finally my toe came through, so I think I'm allowed to get a new pair of trainers.
That's allowed.
It's allowed, yeah.
Tell us about Make Way for Love.
Make Way for Love. Now, that's a song. It's going to be my next single, which will come out in the summer. And I co-wrote it with a Swedish guy called Johan Emoth. And
how did you get to know him?
Pardon?
How did you get to know him?
Actually, that was just through a mutual friend called Jerry Boutier. Jerry used to have, he's a French guy, used to have a label called Continental. And I did a song with Jerry and a Japanese band called Kill the Hero, and it was called Surrender. And so I became friends with Jerry. And I think actually Jerry released a remix of No Memory a few years ago. And through him I met Johan, and then so Johan and I wrote this song Make Way for Love, and I played Hi-Fi Sean a rough demo of it, and he absolutely loved it, and he said I'd like to produce a version of that. So yeah, so he's produced a finished version which will be available in the summer. So that's kind of the background to that, really. That's how it came. And then of course the inspiration, I think, as with a lot of my songs, I dream a lot, especially dreaming a lot at the moment, and kind of from dreams I was inspired, and then this is just kind of the idea of, you know, making way for love. We all need love. Yeah.
Don't we? Especially now.
Yeah.
Scarlet Fantastic, Make Way for Love.
You put the butterfly wings on me. Told me your name. Ever since that night we spent, you know I've never been the same. You came to me out of my dreams. You know things aren't what they seem. A really cool picture of you, those angel wings so blue. You showed me how I can be free, so let's talk about me and you.
So good, yay, Scarlett, fantastic, and Make Way for Love. And Maggie from Scarlett Fantastic is my guest this evening, born in Birmingham, now living in Eastbourne. Is that where they have those like palm trees that look like pineapples?
Yeah, it's fantastic, honestly. I mean, I still can't get over the fact I keep thinking I'm in the south of France. it's so sort of tropical and Mediterranean. Yeah, it's just there's loads of palm trees on the seafront. And the pier now, the dome on it is painted gold. It's amazing. It's just so pretty. It really is. And then you've got kind of in the distance, you've got the Beachy Head cliffs, which is just stunning. And then once you go past the sort of the end of like the promenade, and it just becomes wild, and the council don't actually own it. There's just sort of free beach land, and it's gorgeous. It's almost like a lunar landscape. And then you've got this little lighthouse. It's red and white, really old-fashioned looking lighthouse. I mean, it's just beautiful. And as I say, just to be here you know, during this time when I think everybody just wants to go on holiday, I just feel so grateful and you know, privileged to be in a beautiful place. So I don't take it for granted at all. I just love it.
Of course, being in nature, you know, I've spoken about this so many times, but nature is inspirational, I think, when it comes to any kind of art.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, it's also a great healer. I mean, you know, for me, any times I'm struggling, I just go out into nature and the sea, the sky, you know, looking at the birds and just life, you know, plants and stuff. It just takes me away from what I, you know, might be going on in my head, or it just is transformational, really. And nature, I mean, we are nature. I mean, you know, we sometimes forget that because we're caught up in, you know, all the stresses of society and life and everything. But really, we're just little beings who live on a planet, and you know, we just chilling with nature is for me, it's the way forward, and a massive inspiration. It's always been an inspiration, and that's where I kind of can relax and connect, you know, with something that feels bigger than myself.
And something we don't want to destroy, we don't want to ruin what we've got.
No, you're absolutely right. It's precious, and we should never take it for granted. Absolutely.
Going to Europe?
Pardon?
Do you like going to Europe and performing?
Oh, God, I love going to Europe. I mean, I adore Europe, but I also love you know, other parts of the world as well. And I was luckily I was in Kenya just before the lockdown kicked in February 2020. I went to stay with some friends in Kenya who live there, and oh my goodness, we went to the old Pajeta Conservancy, where they have like such, you know, such an amazing wildlife, and we were camping out, and you know, they were just like, there was hardly anybody there, and oh, just that was just absolutely incredible. I felt so grateful to have that experience, and that was in February 2020, and not just after I came back, you know, the lockdown started. But yes, I do love Europe, and it's interesting, I heard you saying about Paris, Midnight in Paris. It's really funny, I've watched that recently, and it was massively inspired. And there's a quote from Gertrude Stein in the film, and I've been sending it to everybody, and it says, she said, "We all fear death and question our place in the universe. The artist's job is not to succumb to despair, but to find an antidote to the emptiness of existence." And I just loved that, because somehow I think that's what I try to do when I write stuff, rather than getting too bogged down. I find writing is a release for me. It's a help, you know, to try and kind of make myself feel better. And therefore, you know, if I can kind of do that with any art that I do, any music that I do, what a great film, and how lovely to be able to see Paris as well.
I mean, I love it. Yeah. Anything with Paris in, I'm a sucker for. Absolutely adore it, and I've seen this film once, but I had to watch it again today, and I was just like, oh, it was so good, so clever, really, really clever.
Yeah, I do miss being able to travel, but I mean, I guess it'll all come back soon, won't it? I mean, I love Spain as well, I really do, and I do like the Middle Eastern countries as well. When I was very young, I actually lived in Israel for a while on a kibbutz. That was fantastic, great experience. But I mean, I love travelling. I've, you know, been in Jordan, I've been in Egypt, and sort of travelled all the way from Petra across to the pyramids in Egypt. I've done a Nile cruise and everything. I mean, it's just such an amazing world that we live in. And it's just such a shame what's happening at the moment. And I hope, you know, for a better future. I'm sure there will be. I think we have to keep positive.
We do. And change our attitude. I hope people don't forget. You know, when you know, you get people, well, I'm never going to do that again, or it's made me think, well, you know, remember all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so. And I think the one good thing from this whole scenario is that the things that we might have taken for granted, you know, just like being able to sit at home and have a meal with friends, or go out to a restaurant and have a meal with friends, go and sit in the pub with friends. You know, let's make sure that we really do appreciate that, the value of friendship and sharing and being with each other, because that's, I think, been one of the hardest things, you know, for people, especially single people and old people. It's very difficult being on their own right now.
It is.
Yeah. So let's hope when it all changes back to being better, let's hope that everybody will really appreciate it and not take it for granted.
Well, talking about better, and somebody we mentioned before, we're going to talk about Better Day, Hi-Fi Sean, what a gem he is.
He's lovely, isn't he?
I love him.
Yeah, well, you have every reason to. He's a really good lad. He's one of my best friends. He's such good company, such fun. Lovely and very talented. Oh my goodness. The album that he's just finished with David McColman, oh my goodness, I can't wait for them to release it. It's such a brilliant album. It's fantastic. So I'm excited for them. Yeah, he's lovely, isn't he? And he loves you too, Janice.
Oh, good. We have phone conversations where we put the world to right.
Yeah, good. So you should.
Tell us about Better Day.
Better Day. Yeah, well, do you know what? Again, it's just sort of looking for the positive, really. Just, you know, I mean, we all get down and we all have our challenges. You know, we all lose people we love. And this is about, what we were talking about earlier, really, kind of, you know, getting into nature and believing that, you know, there is a better day ahead, and also believing in a bit of magic as well. One day I was actually walking around the lake that is very near my house, and I was looking at the swans, and I was feeling a little bit down, and this guy walked past me, and he just looked at me, and he smiled, and he's got really kind eyes, and he goes, I've just been singing Soul Train. And I looked at him, and I just thought, what on earth is that all about? And I thought, oh my God. And I was thinking, how does some random bloke, how does he recognise me in the lake near my house? And he just said, I've been listening to Soul Train, and that was a song from my band Swansway. And so I took that as a sign. It really uplifted me, and I just thought, maybe he's an angel. Maybe he's like an earth angel. I don't know. Did you ever see Wim Wenders' film, Wings of Desire?
Yes,
fantastic movie about sort of angels that walk around the planet as humans. And I just thought, oh, maybe an angel just passed me by. And so I kind of put that in the last verse. But it's just a very positive song, looking forward to a better day. And there's a video as well on YouTube for it, which my friend Lady Pat did, which we managed to do during the whole lockdown as well, which was quite, had to use our initiative to kind of get a video together in lockdown. But yeah, we did, and I'm just, and the piano is played by a lovely man called Rick Pentecost. He's a great piano player, local guy.
And this is out on when? The 16th of April?
Yeah, it'll be coming
brilliant.
Up.
Brilliant. Well, say hello to Hi-Fi Sean next time you talk to him. And can I thank you for your time, Maggie?
Oh, it's been fantastic. And I have to say, Trevor Dan says hello to you as well.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. I haven't seen him for a while, but we were emailing recently and he just said say hi to Janice from me. So there you go.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show. It's been great.
Hey, welcome. Welcome. Mm. You look after yourself.
Yeah, and you too.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye.
And this is Scarlet Fantastic. Better day. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In a better day. Darkness, don't carry me away. Let me see the sun for another day. Darkness.
better day. In a better day, in a better day, yeah. In a better day, in a better day.
Wonderful, Scarlet Fantastic and Better Day, and everything fits together so beautifully in that. That was a lockdown version that she done especially for us, and we are really, really grateful it'd be out as a single, not that particular version.